It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, we've got a lot of help in the form of Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, who's back with us as promised. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
It was a little cooler than the last week.
Just
when you were
a little
here.
Bit, yeah. Yes.
And a little bit of snow, too. However, that's not going to keep our Lawn and Garden Show, our Smart Garden Show, from being on the air. And you as a listener, will be driving the show as usual.
As usual.
Mm-hmm. Call Teresa or send Teresa a text. And you know we tend to get busy, so don't wait. 651-989-9226 or send a text, if that's easier, 81807. You and I were talking before the show got underway about... Well, we've had snow since you were here last.
Yep.
And what can we do? I mean, I was hoping to get rid of more leaves.
Well, you probably can't get rid of a lot of leaves now. You have to wait for the snow to melt.
Yes.
But what you can be doing is go walk across your yard and see how frozen the soil is. If the soil is really frozen, that means it feels like concrete when you walk
yeah.
on it. If you want to rake, you could. Otherwise, if this is the time you need to put down winter mulch, if you winter mulch anything, which is a mulch that protects newly planted plants. So any plants you planted this year that are perennials or trees or shrubs, you want to give them a little winter mulch. Make sure the mulch doesn't touch the trunk or the trunk of the trees or branches or shrubs. Make sure you have your bunny protection up.
Oh, yeah.
Your deer protection up. You know, clean out your pots. If you're going to put spruce tips in them, you may want to bring your pots inside where the soil can thaw out.
Sure.
So you can put your spruce tips in. And just get your shovels ready and be ready. And on that warm day when we have a little more warmth, get out there and put up your holiday lights if you're going to do anything like that. You know, and if the ground's not frozen yet, continue planting your tulip bulbs and everything.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So can still have something to do.
Yep.
Anyway.
And if you have a veggie garden, make sure you've cleaned it up nice and well right down to the soil and then put a layer of leaves over the soil so you don't have bare soil out there.
All right. Very good.
Yep.
Things to do.
And if you are cutting back your perennials, leave the stems about 2 feet tall if you can. A lot of those stems are hollow and there may be bees that have nested in there.
Oh, really?
And so we need to leave those little native pollinators a place to live.
It's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Again, 651-989-9226. There is a line open if you want to fill it or text 81807. Ron is calling from Minneapolis with a question. Go ahead, Ron.
Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. I'm helping a friend wrap about a dozen small evergreen trees and shrubs,
mm-hmm.
and they're on the north side of a tall building, so they won't be exposed to any sun,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of wind and
mm-hmm.
some snow. I'd like to know some basics, and specifically, do they need to be wrapped around with two layers, or doesn't that matter?
Just one layer will work. What you're just trying to do is break the impact of the wind and protect them if any salt or anything is going to be thrown at them if that's an issue. But you just want to protect that. You just want to break that wind. You don't want to bundle them up so tight that they get too warm because they're near a building. You don't want that. You just want just to break the wind a little bit. Make sure you have watered them. That's even more important than wrapping them. Make sure they've been watered until the ground is just about frozen. You want to keep watering them. So if the ground's not frozen, you may want to give them all one more big drink. That would be good.
Okay. Yeah. Teresa, a texter says, chives are taking over my garden. How do I get rid of them?
Okay. That's really super easy. Eat them.
Okay.
And also, as soon as they bloom, take those beautiful pink, purple flowers and throw them in your salads, throw them on your sandwiches, and you will never have more chives in your yard than that. They do self-seed quite easily, but all you got to do is pop those little blossoms off, and you're not going to have anything. You don't even have to wait till the blossoms have opened. You can actually take the little buds off, throw them in some vinegar, maybe some balsamic vinegar, let them sit for a week or two, and then you almost have like a little caper, like a little pickled bud. That's really interesting. to throw in a salad too, which is a wonderful way to control your garlic chives. That's usually the one that people have problems with.
Okay.
But yeah, just don't let them go to seed. That's all you have to do. They don't sucker. They don't run roots underneath the ground. They don't do anything like that. They just sell seed quite prolifically. And that's all you have to do. And eat them.
Now, we have mentioned this for quite some time, but you have put together a book some time ago, recently.
Yes.
And it's titled?
The Guide to Humane Critter Control.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's kind of related to this next text I'm reading. Can you please talk about nature plants to repel mice?
Oh, yes. Mice don't like things like peppermint.
Yeah.
And that bonite stuff that we use, that mouse magic.
Oh, mouse magic,
That's really good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Peppermint's a wonderful thing. Ants and mice don't like peppermint. So that's a wonderful thing to use. So that would work. They don't really like alliums and onions and things like that. But the peppermint is even better at repelling them.
Okay, yeah. Good idea. By the way, our friends at By the Yard sponsor the show every week, and we do appreciate that. By the Yard makes the best patio furniture in the whole world, and we'll talk more about that as we move through the Smart Garden Hour here. Welcoming your calls and your text messages. Let me grab another text, and then we'll get back to the phones. If the temperatures get back in the 40-plus range, can you still put in tulips? Isn't that what you said before?
You can put in tulips as long as you can dig the soil.
Right.
It doesn't even have to be above freezing. I've put in tulips in snowstorms. It's not the most fun, but you can do it. As long as the ground's not frozen, you can put tulips in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So please plant lots and lots of tulips. The bunnies and the squirrels will be so happy next year.
All right. Marge and Blaine is on the phone with a question. Go ahead, Marge.
Hi, Marge.
Good morning. Yeah, I have a question about my linden tree. I had the lawn was raked completely clean a week or so ago, and now the linden tree dropped a layer of leaves all over the grass in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that will kill the lawn if I have no way to rake them right now.
Right.
There's snow all over them, too.
You know, it's only going to kill the lawn if you leave it sit on there in the spring and don't like carefully rake it up. A lot of that will blow off in the winter. It'll melt with the snow. It'll be with the snow. I wouldn't worry about it. There's not much you really can do at this point in time, but actually, one small layer of leaves is not going to kill your lawn. You'd have to have a little thicker layer, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 inches, and leave it sit out there for a season. So over the winter, that would be fine. Just carefully rake it up early in the spring, as soon as the ground thaws out or dries up a little bit, and your grass will be just fine.
All right, very good. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, Marge. Dorothy is next on CCO. Dorothy, we're listening. What is your question?
Hi, Dorothy.
Good morning. I have a raspberry patch that's close to some maple trees, and I get a lot of leaves in the raspberry patch. This year I didn't get them raked up. Is it okay to leave the raspberries covered with leaves over winter, or should they actually really be picked up?
Oh, I'd leave the leaves out there.
Leave them?
Yep. The only thing with leaving the leaves that have fallen already, and this also pertains to the previous caller, is because the ground is not frozen yet, you're creating an area where the voles and mice might want to live, and then they could do some damage. But other than that, I wouldn't worry about it. The raspberries will appreciate the extra little bit of cover. Probably all the worms and the microbes will help decay some of those leaves over the wintertime, so it'll add a little nutrition to the soil, and raspberries are heavy feeders, so it'll be good.
All right. Thank you, Dorothy. 651-989-9226. There is a line open if you want to use it. Or if you'd rather send a text to Teresa, 81807. Sheila is calling in from Forest Lake, Teresa, with a question. Go ahead, Sheila. Good
Hi,
morning.
Sheila.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
My husband and I have a cabin up near Emily, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. The ground up there in our area is extremely sandy.
Mm-hmm.
This past summer, our neighbor lost several trees from a storm that basically took everything down along the lot line.
Oh.
And so there's really no privacy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I am looking for suggestions of what I could put up there. And they agree that we'll do trees versus any type of a fence or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
or some type of bush.
Mm-hmm.
What would grow quickly that would provide some privacy? And I will, I'm thinking maybe arborvitaes, but I will hang up and listen for
okay.
any suggestions.
Sounds
Thank
good.
You so much.
I'd veer away from the arborvitaes unless you want to feed the deer. Deer love arborvitae, and they will eat them to nothing in the wintertime. And unless you need that winter the winter privacy, go with something deciduous. So I would first of all suggest a book called The Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites. You can get that online for free. And there will be some plants for sandy soil. So think about things like maybe, think about some ornamental grasses, because they'll be up and they'll be bigger than a lot of your shrubs for a little while, and then you can always move them out. The deer aren't going to bother those. And just having a row of ornamental grasses will give you a sense of privacy. It just makes your eyes stop. It's kind of a human thing where our eyes just stop there, and they don't often go beyond. Then think of things like dogwoods, serviceberries, the amelanchiers, things like that that are native plants, even maybe some hazelnuts, witch hazel, things like that that are native, and do a nice little shrub area. And, you know, it only has to be 10, 15 feet tall. It'll give you a sense of privacy. And just having those shrubs there interspersed with some native grasses can really be a wonderful boundary between your two yards, and quite a nature, bringing lots of nature in, the birds and everything like that. It'll really add to your landscape and be native, so you don't have to worry if it's not going to make it. And, you know, add compost every year and leave the leaves where they lay.
All right. Very good.
Okay.
Tracy, we need to take a quick break. We have more show to come. We have callers, we have textures, and we'll get to it here on Smart Garden on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Danny Long here with the Master Gardener, Teresa Rooney, helping you out by phone and by text as usual. And as I mentioned off the air, Teresa, we have a bunch of both calls and texts. We get to it?
I love you gardeners that are like 24/7, 365.
52 weeks a year.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I love it.
All right. Adele's calling from Brooklyn Center. First up here, Adele, what's your question for Teresa?
Hi, Adele.
Good morning. I have a big garden, and I mulch all the leaves and grass and stuff. But I also have a black walnut tree, and I know black walnut roots will kill certain plants. What about the leaves and the twigs? Can they be mulched in the garden, or should they be
picked them out? I would say no. The juglone, which is the chemical that inhibits and kills plants, goes throughout the entire tree. It also actually will, when it rains, the rainwater has juglone in it. So as the rainwater drips off of the leaves, it also brings juglone down to those plants underneath the tree. So I would say do not compost those leaves. You know, get rid of them. Or if you're going to compost them in such a way where you're putting them only on plants that can handle the juglone. And there are plants that can handle it and don't mind it. But don't mix them with your regular plants like your veggie gardens, because it'll kill your tomatoes.
Texture wants to know, we planted a magnolia tree last spring. Does it need winter protection?
Yes. What you want to do is make sure that you've watered it well going into the fall. I would probably give it a little root protection, some leaves around the base of the plant, and then I would protect it from bunnies and deer in case they want to nibble on it during the wintertime. That's the protection that I would give it.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Jean is calling from Kenyon, Minnesota. Jean, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Jean.
Yes, good morning. What a beautiful day with the sun shining so bright.
Yes.
I have a question about my newly identified beacon apple tree.
Oh, wonderful.
I was told that it has a fungus.
Okay.
And should be treated or it will get worse.
Okay. Did they say what kind of a fungus was? Was it apple scab?
No, they didn't.
Okay. They really need to identify it for you, whether it's like fire blight, which will kill your tree, or whether it's like apple scab, which will just defoliate the tree. So you first of all, and you know, there's all kinds of diseases that trees can get, especially apples. So you really need to identify it first. And then what I would do is whoever identified it, they should be able to give you a treatment program, what you should be treating it with and when you should treat it. And as soon as you know what it is, you can also go to a local farmer, our local garden store, and go to look at, say, it'll be called fruit tree spray. And you can open up the little page and it'll tell you, for this disease or this fungus or this problem, you spray this tree at this time, and this time, or whatever you have to do. So then you can kind of check on whether you're getting good information. But first of all, you need to know what disease or what fungus it has. So that's the most important thing. So just saying it has a fungus is not specific enough. You really need to know what it is. And good luck, because the beacons are quite interesting.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jean. We'll take a break in a moment. We have another half hour of the show to go. A texter says, should ornament grasses be cut back?
I would leave your ornamental grasses up if you can. They are, provide wonderful winter interest. They whistle in the wind. They rustle. They provide shelter and even some food for birds. There's nesting insects for your like the little blue stem. That's where our skippers can nest all winter long, our little butterflies. So we want to leave those up if possible. Lots of them stand up. Some of them will fall down in the snow. It's not a big deal. But that's one reason to grow the ornamentals, because they are a four-season interesting plant.
All right. Very good. Teresa, we'll take a quick break here. Again, we have another half hour of the show to go. You want to call in your lawn or garden question or send Teresa your text. Either one will accept. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at By the Yard down in Jordan, Minnesota, the best patio furniture your money can buy. We have Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, helping you out again this morning. We're appreciative of that. You know, what we haven't mentioned is the university website.
Exactly. extension.umn.edu. It's a great place to get all your gardening information. So Yard and Garden Line is what you tick on there. And also, again, that book that I mentioned earlier, The Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites. Really good. You can get that. You can download it for free. There's all different kinds of pages in there for areas, steep slopes, over septic systems, dry shade, sunny plants, the shorter tree or smaller trees, lots, you know, deer resistant plants. So all different kinds of things you can
very detailed
get some
information.
And it's all done by Master Gardeners of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great, great idea. We might mention that before you leave us today. All right, let's grab some phone calls and some text messages. Dennis is calling from Golden Valley, I believe. Good morning, Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
Good morning. I was wondering, do you recommend wrapping arborvitaes or not for the winter? I never have, and they always struggle, you know, with heavy snowfalls. I always have to clear them off. Mm-hmm. Plus, a new thing is happening. Some of the branches are turning brown, and they easily fall off just by touching them. Is that a concern?
It is a concern. What you want to look at with your arborvitaes and all your evergreens is you want to make sure that you've watered them until the ground's frozen, because they will be losing moisture all winter long. You also have to look at where they're located. Are they the right plant for the right place? If they're going to get a lot of snow and salt thrown at them, you can wrap them or even just put up a fence of burlap so that slows that snow or salt down. You also want to consider, are they in a very windy location? So the winter is going to give them that wind burn. Or are they on the south side of your house where it gets really hot in the wintertime? And yes, it gets hot out there. So then they come out of dormancy, they lose even more moisture, and then we get cold again. So they run out of the moisture in their roots faster. So you have to look at all of these different things, and then you also have to look, do you need to protect them from rabbits and deer? So there's a lot that goes into it. If something has changed, then you want to look. Maybe they're not getting enough water, so will wrapping help? Just a little light wrapping may help them. It may not. The water is the most important thing, and I just can't say that enough for the evergreens, because they'll look fine all winter, and they come out of winter dormancy, and all of a sudden they browned up. That we saw that a lot last winter, last spring.
All right.
So good
Very
luck.
Good. Thank you, Dennis. Dan's calling in from Prior Lake, and then we'll grab some text messages. Go ahead, Dan. Thank you.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your show. Real quick question. I have a white birch tree that two summers in a row, it has had infestations with Asian beetles, and I've been able to spray it and get the kill for the season, but I'm wondering, is there anything you can do to prevent that from reoccurring? So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Okay. Now, if you're getting like ladybugs up there, they're probably eating aphids, which is a good thing. So if that's what you're seeing, I don't know that I'd spray for them, because they would be eating all the aphids that then could impact your birch. However, if you mean Japanese beetles, that's a totally different story. And I would suggest that you go to the arborvitae. to the extension website and look at how you want to treat your birches and what kind of products you can use, extension.umn.edu, and click under Japanese beetles. So you want to make sure you've identified the insect properly, whether it's like the orange ladybug. That's a good thing. I wouldn't spray for those. Or the really pretty, shiny, green, coppery-colored Japanese beetle, which you may not want, and then you may need to treat it because it is hard on the plants to lose their leaves every year and have to re-leaf out. But there's not much you can do when it's a big tree either. You have to decide if you're going to treat it or what you're going to do. You don't want to stress it every year, but you know, then you want to wonder how are your chemicals that you're going to put in the ground and with the treating of the trees. So first of all, identify the right insect.
Mm-hmm. And an arborist might help in that
case,
too.
An arborist would help, yep. Or even just going online and with the university website,
yeah.
You'd be able to see right away that, oh, that's what I'm seeing out there, and they're good or they're not so good.
All right. Texter says this, I just received in the mail an Eastern Redbud sapling from the Arbor Day Foundation. I ordered it last spring. Can I still plant it?
Well, I would get it in the ground as soon as possible. It's easier, probably going to do better outside than in your house. The Eastern Redbuds, they might not be so hardy here. We do have a Minnesota strain, and that's the one I would have suggested, but the Arbor Day people just send out what they have. So put it in a protected area, protect it from critters, and make sure you water it. And once you get it planted, then as the ground starts to freeze, maybe build a little cylinder of chicken wire and just fill that up with a bunch of maple leaves or a bunch of oak leaves to give it extra protection all winter long. Good luck.
Texter says, please clarify, for native bees, should I or should I not cut down my dead bleeding heart, phlox, etc., stalks, or leave them intact for the winter?
I would leave them intact. Mm-hmm. Especially if you see that they're hollow, I would leave them intact. If you want to cut them down to like 1.5-2 feet, that's fine. And then just leave them up. Let the plants come up next year around them and just let them go like that. That's what I would do.
Another text says this, Teresa, I have 4 large commercially created hanging baskets. I've moved them inside. Would like to keep them living, but boy, did they take a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
Should watering them quite regularly? And they look nice. Your advice, please. Thank you for
yep,
a great show.
Keep watering them. If they're still flowering, if they're getting enough light, make sure that you're giving them maybe half-strength fertilizer once a week. But do keep watering them. You will find that in your house with our low humidities in the house and the forced air heat or whatever kind of heat you're running in your house, they are going to dry out a lot. So you're going to have to really water a lot. And, you know, outside in the summertime, the humidity is, you know, 60 and 70% in your house. It's 35, 40%. And so it's really a lot harder on plants. So do keep watering them, and good luck, because that can be quite impressive if you can keep those growing.
Teresa, I just noticed there was a follow-up, actually a couple of from the same texter.
Mm-hmm.
I read that also, should I trim them back to what point also in the past with geraniums? I know that I put them down in my unheated fruit room in my basement, let them go dormant, which seems like they dry right up. Then I just put them back out the next year. It's kind of run together sentences mm-hmm, here. There's mm-hmm. salt.
Yep. So do cut them back. You can cut your hanging baskets back a little bit because you probably don't have a huge house for them. You probably have a regular size house for them. Go ahead and trim them back. They'll start leafing out again. They'll start growing again and be a little thicker. If you want to put your geraniums down like you've always done them, you store them downstairs. Do just check though in the cooler area. Maybe spritz them with water once or twice, once a month. Give them a little spritz of water if they're drying out too much. Some people do, however, just take their geraniums out of the containers. Mm-hmm. Brush off most of the dirt and the roots, throw them in a paper bag and put them in a cool location, and they survive all winter just fine. Then you bring them out and bring them back to life in the spring.
This texter says this, chives and creeping Charlie complement each other.
Yes, they're beautiful.
So we did get a creeping Charlie.
We did get a creeping. Thank you for that.
Question.
We hope for those 52 weeks a year.
What is the best way, texter wants to know, to repel moles out of our yard without killing them?
The castor oil will be a repellent, and that's what you're going to find for a lot of the mole X and things like that is castor oil. Again, those moles are there. They're eating the bugs. They're eating the grubs. So they're kind of protecting your yard. You probably only have one. They can dig, you know, 250, 500 feet a night. So they do a lot of digging. However, they can really wreak havoc in your lawn.
Oh, boy, can they ever.
they can. But so they're there because the food's there, and once the food is gone, they'll be gone. They'll head over to the neighbors who then has food. Otherwise, the castor oil is something that'll work.
Good morning. Tester says, how do I winterize my rhododendron? Rabbits and deer, I covered it last year with a large plastic garbage can, but didn't do well.
Yeah, it probably got too hot under there. What you can do, bird netting works really well. Chicken wire works really well. You can even use the floating white row cover, the Remay stuff, and just use that. If you're going to cover it with the plastic container, either cut the top off of it or cut a whole bunch of holes in it, because it gets really hot in those plastic containers in the wintertime. Even just a little sun, you would be amazed. It can get, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 degrees in those things. Same thing for your roses. So you want to make sure that heat can escape, because you don't want to cook your plants inside.
Another text says this, Teresa: if it gets warm enough to melt snow this week, is it still too early to dormant seed my lawn?
No. Go ahead.
No,
you can dormant
seed. I'm
going to
do that very thing myself, because we should have, famous last words, we should have some snow melt.
This is Minnesota. Anything's possible.
Know.
Yeah, it's supposed to get 40-ish, for a minute or two later on in the weekend.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Let's see. A grooming question. 5 different types of trees and shrubs: pin oaks, Korean lilacs, white pear, silver maple, and ash. I have all 5 that are in need of trimming back. Low-hanging branches. And I'm wondering if any of those should be or safely can be pruned now, or when they should be pruned.
Well, it's not the best time for any of those. If you want to wait till the plants have gone completely dormant and the ground is frozen, then you can go ahead and prune them back. Understand that the lilacs have set their flowers for next year, so anything you're pruning off, you're cutting off flowers for next year. So I would wait until the ground is frozen. If you can wait until later in the season, January, February, March, that's even better. January, February is even better. Again, with the understanding the lilacs, you're cutting off the flowers. If there's just one or two branches that you just need to cut off for the season, go ahead and cut those one or two branches off. Don't touch the oak, though, until the middle of winter. That one would be the one I would worry about the most. The other ones, I think you could probably prune fine and safely. But again, we're just at that time where they're trying to go dormant. You don't want to confuse them. So don't be cutting, because that, again, causes chemicals that may say the tree should be growing here. And you just don't want to do that at this time.
Okay, very good. We need to take a quick break, Teresa. So hang on. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney in our Smart Garden Show today, helping you out. We'll get back to the phone calls and text messages. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Smart Garden Show. Danny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. You and I were talking about the winter markets, farmers market, but you can find some master gardeners.
There'll be master gardeners at the winter farmers market. So in the Twin Cities here, there's a lot of winter farmers markets.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think there's farmers markets in the winter, but there are. They'll be selling things like potatoes and things like that, and squashes, but also some craft stuff. But there should be farmers, wonderful master gardeners at all of those markets. So if I can't answer your question, you can find them. You can always also go to extension.umn.edu.
Yep.
And click on the garden and lawn tab, or lawn and garden tab, whatever they're calling it.
Very good.
Punch in there.
Katie is calling in from Coon Rapids with a question. Good morning, Katie.
Hey, Katie.
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Teresa, what do I do? Squirrels come to my bird feeder all the time, and I'm trying to keep them away, and I don't. Is there something I can do to keep them away or not?
Sure. There's a few things. You can put a baffle on the bird feeder so the squirrels can't climb up. Understand they can jump from, 15, 20, 400 feet away, and they can power themselves through the air and jump from trees and things like that. You can also buy fancy bird food that has hot pepper flakes in it, or you can just add some of your own to inexpensive bird food. And the squirrels often don't like that hot pepper and will leave it alone. You could also put some corn out in a different area and let them eat the corn. Let them know that that's where they can get their food, and serve other things up in the bird feeders. Keep the bird feeders, you know, when the birds are going to be there, that's when you have them full. When the birds are done for the day, or that means going out there twice a day, you know, early in the morning and later in the afternoon as they get their food early in the morning and later in the afternoon. And then in the middle of the day, no feeders. But put peanuts and fun things for the squirrels in a different spot, and hopefully then maybe the squirrels will leave it alone, or just understand the little squirrels are going to be little pigs and they're going to take all the bird food out. And they're kind of helping because they throw a bunch of seed on the ground, which then, you know, your chickadees and your cardinals and things and other ground feeders that will come in your little brain just went blank there. All your little juncos and things can jump on the ground and eat the seeds too. So, yeah.
You have some options. And there's some pretty fancy feeders.
And there's some fancy feeders. And, you know, and there's, you know, the Yankee flipper that kind of whips them around. And that's that can be amusing at times. You know, and some people also will take like, what is that? It's that thing, slinkies. And they'll put a slinky on the pole of the feeder, and the it keeps stretching and the squirrels can't climb up it. So, and if you put a big, fat, huge pole, then they can't grasp it either. So there's things you can do that make it less pleasant for them, and then feed them in other locations. And good luck with that.
All right. Teresa, the texter says, small Norway pines, how do you transplant?
Well, I wouldn't do it now. I would wait until spring to do it. What you could have done earlier in the fall is do a root pruning where you go around the tree in the area you think you're going to take next year, and you just cut straight down, and you're cutting all the roots, and then new roots will grow inside of that cut, and it almost becomes like a container plant. You do that the season before you're going to move the plant. Then when you decide to move the plant, have the new location all ready for it. Cut around, dig under the plant, lift it up, quickly bring it over to its new location and set it in. 2 or 3 days before you move the plant, give it a big drink of water so it's really plump, really hydrated before you move it, and then move it and water it in really well. Don't fertilize it for about 2 or 3 months.
Okay. Another texter says this, Teresa, I planted bald and burlapped Black Hill spruce about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They've grown from 5 feet to roughly 14. This fall, I noticed mushrooms growing in a circle around the tree at the drip line, and they look like they're dying from the inside out. What could be wrong, and will they survive? Great show. Thank you.
Oh, good. First of all, mushrooms in the ground usually means something's decaying. So that means there's some roots or something that are decaying in there. Probably has nothing to do with what you're seeing at the trees. Next, needles live only a certain amount of time, and if you look in any pine forest, any spruce forest, most of the trees are naked inside right by the trunk of the tree because those were old needles. They're not getting enough light, and all the growth is toward the outside. That's totally natural for trees to do that. You want to make sure, though, that when they were bald and burlap, that they did take the cases off, that they took the burlap off, that none of the burlap is left there and above ground, so it's wicking moisture away. So just keep watering them. They're a tougher plant. We're finding that they're not as tough as we'd hoped they were, but they're better than the Colorado blue spruce for our area. And I wouldn't worry about the mushrooms you're seeing on the ground. That's just things that are dying on the ground. Something underneath is dying.
Teresa, the texter wants you to repeat the website and the best plant.
Oh, yes. The best plants for 30 tough sites. And that was a book that Mary Myers shepherded. We Master Gardeners together in Minnesota, and then we put a bunch of different ideas out. So it's called The Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites. You can download the whole book. You can bookmark it. You can buy it at certain garden centers and stores and things like that, or you can download it for free. And there's just great information on there. Most of the pages are one page per subject. Rain gardens get 3 pages because they're special. But it gives you ideas of plants that can handle some of those weirder sites.
So you can find it at various retail outlets.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm.
Maybe
Hort Society has it. The Arboretum has it.
Does? Yeah.
I'm sure the Minnesota Bookstore has it. The University Bookstore has it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Very good. With dormant seeding, Tester says, and we're almost out of time. Are you supposed to scratch up the soil, or can you seed on top of soil? It's always got to be contact, though, right?
Yeah, you want to have really good seed-to-soil contact. So I don't know if I'd be scratching up the soil, but I would make sure I'd go out there and stomp on it so you have really good seed-to-soil contact. And maybe the grass can be a little shorter in that
area.
And
again, if I'm looking at the forecast, if Thursday's forecast is accurate, we could get up to near 43. Might be a day for dormant seeding.
Might be a day for dormant seeding. Or go to extension.umn.edu.
Yeah, let's do that one more time. The website for the U of M.
Extension.umn.edu.
Excellent. Teresa, we're out of time. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, Denny.
We'll see you down the road, I'm sure. I hope.